Order,
order.
Order,
order.
Order, order.
Order, order.
Order, order.
Now, Today in Parliament's been on the air for 70 years this month. First broadcast in October 1945, in the difficult days just after the Second World War, the programme has reported on 13 different Prime Ministers and literally thousands of MPs and peers. Robert Orchard, who was a parliamentary correspondent for more than 20 years and a regular presenter of this programme, has been looking through our archives.
I'm sitting here in the deserted House of Commons press gallery, high above the Speaker's chair, looking down on the empty benches of a silent Commons chamber, which in a few hours will be packed to bursting, the noise deafening, for the raucous parliamentary joust of Prime Minister's questions. From this seat, for some 20 years, I reported on that weekly parliamentary drama, and many other dramas in the Palace of Westminster, which were the meat and drink for the BBC's only mass audience programme, focusing on the daily doings and daring do of our legislators. Today in Parliament.
Order,
order.
I probably more often than not listen to Today in Parliament in the bath.
And I'm very comfortable and I think, oh, Betty, this is champion. Why didn't you come to bed earlier? But I put my book down when the programme comes on.
We can't do without it.
The big thing about Today in Parliament is that it's in many ways Britain's longest running soap opera.
Soap opera? Or whodunit? One thing's for sure. Today in Parliament, or Tip to its staff, is still here. The sole survivor of the journalistic Night of the Long Knives, when detailed daily coverage of Parliament was axed by the serious national newspapers in the 1990s. Now Tip stands alone, its audience an impressive 500,000 listeners a night. And in case anyone gets any funny ideas, avid Tip listener and Conservative MP Jacob Rees-Mogg warns them off.
Broadcasting Parliament is the only specific requirement in the Royal Charter. The BBC could get rid of EastEnders, it could get rid of its news bulletins, but it has to have a report on Parliament.
Broadcasters had a long battle to report Parliament at all, but the mood among leading politicians changed during the Second World War, and that commitment was written into the corporation's new post-war charter. The first ever edition was duly broadcast on Tuesday, the 9th of October, 1945. No recording survives, but we can create the moment thanks to the slightly dog-eared original typescript of those famous first words.
The House of Commons reassembled in strength this afternoon to get down to the serious business of the session. Crowds of people were in Parliament Square and thronged the central lobby, and the House itself was packed. All the principal ministers.
The voice of the legendary BBC announcer Brian Perkins. The initial audience topped 2 million in the years after the war, before television. What they heard at home were momentous parliamentary stories, creating the National Health Service, nationalising the coal mines, the railways and banks, the Korean War, and the traumas of the Suez Crisis in 1956 that brought down the Conservative Prime Minister Sir Anthony Eden. Dennis Healey, who died last week, was then a young Labour MP, harrying and mocking Eden over Suez. He thought the Commons was at its best when debating issues of war and peace.
There's nothing really more important or which creates more intense feeling.
But we have to wait till 1963, just weeks before President Kennedy was assassinated, to hear what's our first surviving archive recording of Today in Parliament.
This is the BBC Home Service. Today in Parliament. The Commons was in good humour when members reassembled after the summer recess.
That good humour didn't last. The Labour leader, Harold Wilson, lambasted the government for the stuttering start made by the new Tory Prime Minister, Alec Douglas-Hume. Forced to renounce his peerage and fight a by-election, Hume was currently neither a peer nor an MP. The announcer deadpanned Wilson's colourful prose.
In the past fortnight, they'd seen democracy at work in the Conservative Party. It was nature in the raw, red in tooth and claw.
With MPs and peers opposing every effort to have their voices broadcast, compiling Today in Parliament was a challenge. Bob Clifford first worked on Tip in the early 1970s, and he recalls having to write the script based on pages and pages of news agency copy.
It was a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. But when it was all put together, it was read by one of the very famous Radio 4 newsreaders, and it all sounded very, very good.
Brian Perkins was one of those very famous Radio 4 newsreaders. He too recalls those early days and wasn't impressed.
in the mid-60s when I was in the BBC. Today in Parliament was just, as we say in the business, a straight read, and it was a kind of rather dry, humorless 15-minute dirge.
But the breakthrough came in 1975 when, finally, MPs agreed to share their secret world with voters.
Today in Parliament. From Westminster, this is Brian Martin. For both houses, their first day back after the spring recess. And for the Commons, their first day on the air, the start of the experimental radio broadcast of proceedings.
The first issue listeners heard their political leaders discussing sounds vaguely familiar. A referendum on whether Britain should stay in the EU, called the Common Market back then. Britain had just voted yes, and the Labour Prime Minister, Harold Wilson, was jubilant.
The historic decision has been made. I hope that this House and the country as a whole will follow the lead which the government intend to give in placing past divisions behind us.
And something that may surprise Tory Eurosceptics.
Mrs. Thatcher said the opposition joined the Prime Minister in rejoicing over the referendum result.
Rejoicing? And it got more and more bizarre.
Mrs. Thatcher said everyone on the Conservative side and many on the Labour side would want to hand the campaign honours to Mr. Heath.
Yes, you heard it right. The freedom to broadcast the voices of MPs and peers regularly from 1978 attracted new, often younger listeners, as MP Jacob Rees-Mogg recalls.
The family has listened to Today in Parliament forever, really. My youngest sister could do a very good imitation of George Thomas saying order, order in a lilting Welsh accent when she was about four.
Order, order!
Suddenly the airwaves were full of parliamentary noises, debates and PMQs brought to life. I vividly recall listening at home to the intense drama of that special Saturday Commons debate after Argentina invaded the Falklands in April 1982. And fast forward to 2003, and the night Tony Blair won MP support for war with Iraq. It had been one of the Commons' most passionate debates for decades and split the Labour Party.
As many as had opinions say aye. Aye. Of the country, no.
No.
Division. Clear the lobby.
I remember members coming to the table, some with tears in their eyes, saying, you know, I really don't know which way to vote. They weren't seeking our advice, but sharing a real moral dilemma. And certainly that was the case with the Iraq vote. And it was very moving and very memorable.
Robert Rogers, now Lord Lisvain, was a Commons clerk at the time, which gave him a ringside seat. I'd arrived in Westminster in 1984, just before the miners' strike, reporting for BBC Local Radio and BBC Wales. We shared dingy, windowless offices in a long-demolished building with a transient Today in Parliament staff, who seemed rather a breed apart. Brian Perkins.
I think there were any number of eccentrics, and I think their eccentricity was probably enhanced by frequent visits to the various bars around Westminster, and how the programmes got assembled and actually got on the air is sometimes a bit of a mystery.
Order! Order!
Or should that be last order? TIP finally got its own permanent staff, and in the early 1990s, they became reporters too, each writing and broadcasting a separate story, like a real news programme. And the announcers gave way to journalists. Out of many momentous events, for me, no parliamentary story in my career compares with the political assassination on the floor of the Commons of Margaret Thatcher, who'd won the Tories 3 elections. The Iron Lady's views on Europe had changed since 1975. Closer European integration?
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. No.
Tory MPs got the message. But sitting in the Commons press gallery in November 1990, we had no inkling what the mild-mannered Sir Geoffrey Howe, who's just died, was to say in his cabinet resignation speech. Nor did Mrs. T. Her features tightened as her former Chancellor and Foreign Secretary likened the dilemma facing ministers dealing with Europe to a cricket match.
It's rather like sending your opening batsman to the crease, only for them to find, the moment the first balls are bowled, that their bats have been broken before the game by the team captain.
The rest, as they say, is history. Mrs. Thatcher certainly was. Though she managed to leave the stage with great panache in one last bravura Commons performance.
I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this.
So were we. Great theatre. Time passes, and 15 years later, for Labour's Tony Blair, another triple election winner, nothing in his Commons life became him like the leaving it. forced out, though rather more subtly, by the allies of his Chancellor, Gordon Brown.
If it is on occasions the place of low skullduggery, it is more often the place for the pursuit of noble causes. And I wish everyone, friend or foe, well, and that is that, the end.
Almost as one, virtually the whole Commons rose to their feet to give the PM a rare standing ovation. Fast forward again, and after the novelty of the coalition, the Tories won last May with a wafer-thin Commons majority. But they remain outnumbered at the posh end of the palace, the House of Lords. Over the years, it's increasingly made headlines on tip by delaying, or for a time even blocking, new laws. Former Commons Speaker Betty Boothroyd is now an independent peer and a great fan of Today in Parliament. And despite the often justified criticism of the other place, she believes it has a vital role to play.
Alas, and I speak very frankly, I fear the Commons does not scrutinise detailed legislation as it should, and the House of Lords then has to take it on and do it all.
Lady B was the most popular Commons speaker since broadcasting began, but was it true what one former tip editor told me, that he was quietly tipped off, appropriately, after her first day in office, that the new speaker wasn't happy with her opening rendition of "Order, Order," which traditionally is then used to start every programme? Did she really re-rehearse it secretly in the chamber to get it right?
I think somebody must have said to me, it's not quite right, it's far too high-pitched. You know, you must do something about it. So I did try to lower my voice, but I don't think I rehearsed it.
Order, order.
Sounds fine to me, Betty. The cross-party Commons committees increasingly merit coverage on tip for their inquiries. I'd say they're where much of the best parliamentary work gets done. They've grilled bankers, industry fat cats, media bosses, the great and the good and the not-so-good. One of the biggest hitters is the Public Accounts Committee, chaired until the election by Labour's combative Margaret Hodge. But she insists she doesn't set out to make the witness squirm.
We have been accused of grandstanding in the past, and I don't apologise for that one little bit, because I have very few tools in my box to really draw attention to issues of public importance, like tax avoidance. And if occasionally, to get your interest as the media, I had to exaggerate a little bit, I thought it was appropriate.
And at last, something about Today in Parliament that someone doesn't like.
One criticism I'd have probably is I think too much time is spent on Prime Minister's questions.
Jeremy Corbyn seems to agree. And while filling the programme can still be a challenge some days, recent changes in procedure to increase topicality and Speaker John Bercow's moves to champion the rights of the Commons have made Parliament, and so tip, more newsworthy and more relevant to the listener. In the early days, the BBC Director-General, Sir William Hayley, warned that the programme should guard against including MPs' undistinguished wisecracks. These days, a good joke with a political bite is sometimes the best way to get on the programme. Vince Cable became a household name in 2007 with his put-down of Labour's floundering new PM, Gordon Brown.
The House has noticed the Prime Minister's remarkable transformation in the last few weeks from Stalin to Mr. Bean.
Order, order.
Quite right. Most parliamentary broadcasting is no joke. And the controller of Radio 4, Gwyneth Williams, thinks that, with so many competing sources of information from the internet and social media, there's an even greater need for a programme making sense of Parliament for the listener.
I think of Radio 4 as conveying understanding rather than information. So it's about judgments and it's about finding the moments that really count, or the people who have something significant and interesting to say.
Of course, whisper it quietly, but Today in Parliament isn't everyone's cup of cocoa, even for politicians. The SNP's Angela Crawley was elected last May. Did she listen to the programme before arriving at Westminster?
Well, to be perfectly honest, before I was in Parliament, no, not at all.
And with many decisions on health and education, for example, now made by the Scottish Parliament, who could blame her? Isn't there a danger that Scottish voters will lose interest in events at Westminster? Angela Crawley thinks not.
Especially in Scotland, since the referendum, we've seen a greater level of democratic engagement than ever before. More people are watching BBC Parliament, they're listening to the radio, they want to hear what their MPs are doing.
So tip is enshrined in the BBC Charter, a vital part of our democracy, a dignified part of the Constitution, but no patsy. And retired tip patriarch Bob Clifford thinks it's rather more than all of that.
the big thing about Today in Parliament is that it's in many ways Britain's longest running soap opera. Today in Parliament's been running much longer than The Archers, Coronation Street, EastEnders, and all human life is there. You've got tragedy, drama, love, betrayal.
So where does the soap opera go next? Labour's Sir Gerald Kaufman is 85 and says he's been listening virtually since the programme began.
You have any criticisms or advice for the programme for the next 70 years?
Get on with it. Do it. Don't abandon it.
Perish the thought. But what does Gwyneth Williams, controller of Radio 4, say to that?
Will it still be there in another 70 years?
I should have thought so.
And the main news from Parliament again. After more than 10,000 episodes and 13 prime ministers, Britain's longest-running soap opera gets the thumbs up from politicians and the BBC power brokers. I'm Robert Orchard, the producer Christina Cooper, and that was 70 years of Today in Parliament.